AgBioScience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
That demand signal has been super messy. It's been basically in the past based on somebody saying, I don't want to run out, top me off, I'm going to make a phone call. And so when we replace that with perfect vision, there is a big step forward in what you can do with much better data.
Welcome to AgBioScience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinova CEO, Mitch Frazier.
Welcome back to AgBioScience. 2024 will be the year that AI, artificial intelligence, moves from hype to help in AgBioScience. It's a prediction we made in late 2023, and it's one that today's guest is bringing to animal health. It's going to be a lot of fun. Welcome, Ben Allen, CEO of ag tech company Ben Century. Ben, welcome to AgBioScience.
Thank you, Mitch. I'm happy to be here.
I'm elated you're here, Ben. We have a lot to cover today. I want to dig into the problem you're solving at Ben Century. But first, I think it's always helpful to start with some macro. What is the biggest challenge facing animal producers today, your ultimate customers?
If you ask the animal producers, they will say meat prices. You know, meat prices in the market have really put the screws to the animal industry for the last couple of years. Coming out of the pandemic, we're still playing cleanup from a market standpoint. If you move beyond the marketing prices, which are a little too big for me to control, that's kind of out of my hands. Then you get into how do you really get the right feed to the right place at the right time? Feeding animals is by far the hardest thing to do with raising animals. It's the most expensive. It's 65 to 70% of the cost of raising an animal is feeding it.
When you look at that tight economy that you just walked through on the producer's end, where you have really, really tight margins when commodity markets, when meat markets are down, it creates a hypersensitivity to money out the door. When you think of the customers who are using Ben Century today, what is that unique problem that Ben Century is solving, and how do the economics play out for those customers?
You know, it's a great question. Sometimes when people are under pressure, especially from an economic standpoint, they just pull back. They just say, look, now's not the time to experiment. We're going to try and do less of everything. And that can be an extreme challenge in a lot of cases, especially when you've got feed supply chain practices that involve taking inventory with rubber mallets. It's 2024, and if you ask people how they measure feed inside of feed bins or at barns, they're throwing rocks at bins, or they're hitting them with rubber mallets, or they're climbing ladders and peering into a dark hole, which, you know, no surprise to anybody, just doesn't give you very good data.
You got to share this because I can see this happening and have seen it happen. Like, for folks that don't understand this, when you say rubber mallet and a rock, explain what's happening so people can kind of visualize this as they're listening.
Well, when you've got a 24-ton bin, you know, most barns, animal barns out there have tandem bins set up. So they've got two big bins that are running feed, 24-ton. Anywhere, we know from watching, we watch a little over 12,000 assets a day, that the average size of a feed bin in North America is 16.2 tons. So you can climb up this thing and you can peer in, but it's a big metal tube. And so you can't really see what's going on. And you know one thing out at the barns, the one simplifying rule is don't run out. Just don't run out. And so with that being the rule for the operators, the workers, the techs that are out on the barn sites, they don't run out by just kind of guessing and topping off. Kind of like, imagine driving your truck and not having a fuel gauge. You get good at how far can I get, which the industry's super good at that. But you also go, hey, I'm not going to push it. I'm going to top off a lot. That's what you would do. If you didn't have a fuel gauge on your truck and you need to drive someplace, you would just stop more often. Unfortunately, that stopping more often is more painful than most people realize. You're rolling trucks more often than you need to. We're in a constrained labor environment. That's not great. It's hard to staff those kinds of hours. You're blending feed rations, you know, different recipes on top of different recipes. You're taking the simplified rule of don't run out on the site to its extreme, and you're not running out, but you're spending all kinds of money to not run out that you wish you didn't have to. It's not an efficient process when you're running on bad data. And it's just, you know, how do you get efficient with blinders on? The answer is you don't. You got to find a way to take the blinders off.
And taking those blinders off, Ben, is really what I feel like has led you to create Ben Century. You've got some great investors on board, a great team on board. Give us a feel. What is Ben Century? How does it work? What does it do?
A lot of people would think that we're a sensor company. And in some ways we are. We're a sensor company. We have great sensors, best in class optical sensors that can see into these dark caverns and give us great data. Some people think we're a software company because we have leading software that takes all of this data in and makes it useful, helps people. It points their eyes to where they need to be. It makes suggestions about what they need to do and what they need to look at. But at the end of the day, it's about operating process. It's about P&L management. We're a technology company is what Ben Century is. We work hard to have innovative technology that serves our customers. Our customers are some of the biggest names in ag. They're large animal integrators. They're large ag feed mills. They are companies that are either doing tens of millions, hundreds of millions, or billions of dollars worth of business every year. And they're not buying sensors from us. That's not really what they're doing. They are coming in and selecting a technology vendor that allows them to work differently. And by work differently, let me give you an example of that, because that sounds a little grandiose and like I'm waving my hands around a little bit. But at the end of the day, ag is a really rough business. It's out in the elements all the time. We're working with animals that can hurt you if you're not paying attention. There's big trucks and gear moving around all around you all the time. And we're good at it. We run a lot of volume at low profit margins around the world. And when you can do that on even better data, you can use your labor more efficiently. You can protect your people. We don't want these guys and gals climbing ladders to peer into dark holes. There's no reason to put them up that ladder and even risk that in a rainstorm or in the dark or any of that. When we can do that and then use the data to send them notifications, by them, I mean the operators on the sites they're working day to day, then they get more efficient. We can see things that they don't see coming. We can see things that they might not see at all. So an example of that, most people know that the tandem bin set up at barns, that to open and close a bin to put feed into the barn, that's a manual slide. Somebody has to walk up and open or close an animal feed bin. There is no data on how that is managed, but we can see it. With our technology, when we sensor up a site, we can actually see, are they running both bins at the same time and blending all their rations, which is not best practice? Or did one bin run out and they just didn't know through a shift change or maybe a mechanical breakdown or something else that even though there's feed on site, they're not getting it to animals? Nobody's ever been able to see that before. And we can actually see it. And we know from the data, because some people go, hey, you know, okay, we know our inventory data a little bit better. That's nice, but not drastically important. It becomes drastically important to these people when they notice it. Their outage hours, the amount of hours they're not feeding animals due to slide management issues happens 4.4 times more often than actually the outage hours from running out of feed. So our customers know about the running out of feed thing because people yell at each other. That's a mistake or a key breakdown. That scrambles the operation. They don't know that that's only about 20% of their problem. 80% of their problem is hidden in the slide management that they can't see, and they can't manage it if they can't see it. So we're talking about, for our animal customers, multiple points of feed conversion ratio pickup, multiple points. And normally they're working on fractions of points. So when I walk through that data where our technology allows customers to see things they've never seen before, it means they can manage things they haven't been able to manage before, and it drops straight to their bottom line. Like the ROI becomes very clear and very compelling. And ultimately, that's how I explain our growth, even when markets are tight.
It's fascinating, Ben. I had a chance to take a look at some of your customer interviews and hearing what customers had to say. This feed conversion piece, I don't want to overemphasize it, a giant role that you and the team at Ben Century are playing. The one that sort of stuck in my mind is making sure that we actually have feed in the bin. Back to your example of a rock and a rubber mallet, but the trucks are rolling before they're empty. And while that seems, it goes back to your truck analogy of running without a fuel gauge, there are multiple points here of value, of benefit that you're delivering for these producers.
It's amazing what you can do with great data. And we have fantastic operators. They're struggling with blinders on, and all we do is help them take the blinders off. And then we work very closely with our customers to constantly evolve our software and our technology to make it easier for them to scale. You know, when we were a smaller company, we had to help people with dozens of bins, and then it was hundreds of bins. And now we help people with thousands of bins. And those are software evolutions that we've been able to keep up with. But it, you know, think about the man hours that we save in an industry that really struggles to get great talent out in the country. We honestly feel like we're helping, and we're thrilled to work with the customers so we get the opportunity to help.
What does the future of technology, specifically artificial intelligence, mean for those customers? We'll dig into it right after this. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
A healthy company is a blessing, but a well-insured company is a necessity. That's why Indiana Farm Bureau offers more affordable health plans for eligible members. Whether you have just a handful of employees or a larger enterprise, building a stable business demands employees who are just as strong and healthy. Indiana Farm Bureau can help with health plans that include medical, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement insurance plans. And you can sign up for membership and apply for an Indiana Farm Bureau health plan any time of year. Indiana Farm Bureau understands the cost of health care has rapidly become one of the largest expenses for many small businesses. We invite you to compare our health plans to your current coverage. We're confident you could find significant savings. To learn more about the health plan that's right for you, visit infbhealthplans.com and make the switch today.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. We're talking with Ben Allen, CEO of ag tech company Ben Century. Ben, we've been talking about the role that Ben Century plays, the absolute need for continued evolution and precision as it relates to feed conversion, making sure feed's available. I want to go back to your story a bit, because you're a guy who, it doesn't appear, grew up in the animal business. You're a guy who spent time with really interesting ag tech companies, Trimble, Indigo, several others. What led you? What was that sort of spark, that eureka moment where you go, you know what? There's an animal opportunity here. I need to go chase it.
You're right. I didn't grow up an animal guy. I grew up more on the grain side of things. My dad was one of the first guys to do hedging for family farms in the United States. So I literally grew up in a commodity brokerage house in Davenport, Iowa. So it, you know, kind of an odd upbringing, but it was way more grain and row crop oriented than the animal side. And most of the grain you grow goes through animals. Just under half of the grain in the United States, over 8 billion bushel, goes through the animal chain. And you know, when I was looking at Ben Century and the industry in general, you look at ag and you say, why is it a laggard in digitization? Why are we slower? Because it's not an IQ challenge. It's not a money challenge. Ag is a giant industry. We move a lot of product all the time. It's a major supply chain industry. And it really comes down to, you know, the reality that most vertical industries, so most industry sectors, improve their technology when they go through an asset refresh cycle. So when Ford puts all new robots on the factory floor, they get the next generation of robots. And they have the benefit of being under a roof in a controlled environment while they do that. The only place that I'm aware of that that happens reliably in agriculture is with farmer tractors. Farmer tractors turn over regularly, and tractors are about as advanced as any technology we have on the farms in agriculture, with maybe the exception of genetics. And genetics moves at its own pace because it doesn't need a refresh cycle. It's always just pushing forward in R&D. But when you try to apply that asset refresh cycle question to most of industrial ag, the refining, the feed mills, the processing, there is no asset refresh cycle. It just doesn't exist, with maybe the exception of meat processing in the plants themselves. And so we're not getting new tech coming into the industrial side of the business. It just doesn't come. So the assets are dumb. And I mean that from the standpoint of, they're just not pulling data. They don't get the new equipment. They don't get the new software. And we have to change that by just bolting all on sensors. Well, you can put sensors in a number of places. The intelligence about a sensor is really in putting it in the right place. You're creating a data stream. So our sensors that go out into feed bins, the data pipe that we create is animal feed consumption at the point of consumption. It is a demand signal for the entire animal feed industry that tells you how much product are you going throughout the field, when are you going to need more, and where do you need it? And that demand signal has been super messy. It's been basically in the past based on somebody saying, I don't want to run out, top me off, I'm going to make a phone call. And so when we replace that with perfect vision, there is a big step forward in what you can do with much better data. And that thesis of agriculture is largely a supply chain industry. We move big, bulky stuff all over all the time. That it needs IoT. It needs sensors, Internet of Things. It needs to create these data streams. Then Ben Century became extremely attractive because we have engineering talent and innovative product and technology and patent suites in all of those areas. And we can really help these customers pick up key data streams and work with them, which is just as important.
And when you think about taking that data and making sense of that data and taking action on that data, there's some really basic use cases, really clear, obvious use cases you've walked through. But this next chapter is one that's probably even more exciting as you begin to think about artificial intelligence, machine learning. Walk us through how you're thinking about it specific to Ben Century, but maybe even broadly. You're a guy who grew up in the commodity business and no grain. Where do you see AI today in the overall ecosystem?
I do some speaking on this. I'm very passionate about artificial intelligence. It's Jamie Dimon just came out and said he thinks it's going to be as important as electricity or the printing press to the economy. That's not a small statement from one of the biggest financiers in the world. As you think about artificial intelligence, there's a lot of places that can provide fantastic growth. In today's world, you'd much rather have a computer looking at your CAT scan or your EKG or your X-ray than human eyes that could be tired or had a fight with their spouse or something else in the last 24 hours. Like, there's areas where this is already happening: drug discovery, military applications, content generation. There are a number of areas where we're seeing it, and most business people are starting to say, great, but what does it mean to me? Can I see something in my business? And where will that start to show up? Well, in Hollywood and in medical and other areas, that's started for the last couple of years. So they have different applications to reach out and kind of grab onto, or examples to grab onto. In agriculture, it's showing up right now in the tech that people don't touch necessarily. So at Ben Century, we have a suite of AI patents that are all about making sure that our cameras and our data sets are super accurate. The math that we have to go through to do that can only be solved by artificial intelligence, and we believe it's the only path through. We've had some really smart people working on that for multiple years, so we patented that work. So the AI that we put to work in our sensor suite, nobody ever really touches. They just get the benefit of highly accurate data streams. So they're already seeing or benefiting from AI. They just don't touch it or play with it or feel it in a way that they really understand or get much user interface with. What's coming next, and it's moving incredibly fast, is the automation of what I call spreadsheet land. So a lot of logistics and scheduling and MRP, so material and resource planning, so ingredient purchasing or selling or vendor management, labor schedules, we're still working a lot of spreadsheets. It's not unusual to walk into a mill or an office in ag and somebody's got four screens going. And what is that? Well, that's my spreadsheet over here for watching, you know, what I'm doing in the mill. And this is my spreadsheet for watching the trucks. And it's really difficult to have fully automated software suites. I mean, that would be the dream. The computer tells you what's going on, but we're way closer to that than most people recognize. Once you have the right data, automating the work that we do in spreadsheets and whiteboards, that's going to happen surprisingly fast. And so AI isn't coming. Like, it's already here. It tends to be a little more under the hood in agriculture than most people understand. But that's going to change within the next 12 months.
It's a really powerful perspective, Ben. I think that as we look at AI, we talk about it moving from hype to help, really transforming the way that people do business. Your view on it's sort of the Intel inside, if you will, right? From the old desktop PCs that we all had growing up, it's how it works not what it works, right? And I think that is a wildly powerful unlock as we think about the future. Maybe time for one last question. And this is one that I think will be helpful contextually as people get their heads around Ben Century, but get their heads around what's coming in 2024 here in agriculture. Clearly a cyclical business. You've seen it in grain. We're seeing it right now in grain with commodity prices in a tough spot. Certainly the animal folks have felt the same pressure and feeling pressure from the commodity markets potentially as well, given a lot of them do both. This is a cyclical market. What have you learned? As a guy who has spent his career in ag tech, what have you learned from prior cycles and their impact on ag tech that's shaping how you and the team are tackling this market at Ben Century?
My great-grandfather in Iowa, who used to run 100 acres with horses when he started and then transitioned to tractors as a major technology shift, used to always say, when everybody else is running, you need to walk. When everybody else is walking, you need to run. It's easy to say, and it's crazy hard to do. The reality of down markets is that they make you want to hunker down. They make you want to put your head in the sand and just go to your sweet spot. And sometimes there needs to be some of that. So it's not crazy. It makes a lot of sense and people do it for a reason. But technology is moving extremely quickly right now. Extremely quickly. And you ignore that at your own peril. What I mean by that is if you're a feed mill or an animal integrator who is operating at 4 to 5% EBITDA profit margins, and you find technology that can take that up by 50 to 75%. So all of a sudden now you're going to run at 6 or 7% margins. That difference is actually maybe the difference between life or death in the company, but it's certainly the difference between who can expand and who's shrinking. And that difference right now seems to be technology. Everybody understands it well when it's genetics. Everybody gets that you've got to be on the front end of that, whether it's seed corn or hog genetics or poultry genetics or whatever that may be. And right now, AI and tech is becoming that next wave, and you ignore it at your own peril, regardless of what the market's doing, because it is the area that will make you more efficient and move faster. It'll make the most of the labor that you are successful at getting and holding on to.
Ben, it is an incredible era, an incredible opportunity. Artificial intelligence will move from hype to help, and Ben Century is a great example. He is Ben Allen, CEO of ag tech company Ben Century. Ben, thanks so much for spending time with us on Ag Bioscience.
Thanks, Mitch. I really appreciate it.
And thank you for tuning into Ag Bioscience. On behalf of the entire Agrinovus team, thanks so much for listening. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, hosted by Mitch Frazier, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovusindiana.com.